Today we're going to look at the subject of forgiveness from Matthew chapter 18. I'd like to read beginning with verse 21. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. You know, I think Peter thought he was very generous to say, Lord, look, how many times should I forgive someone that sins against me? 7 times in a day, you think? Jesus said, Peter, I say not unto you 7 times, but until 70 times 7, and 490 times. And that doesn't mean after 490 times that you don't have to forgive. I think what Jesus was saying was as an impossible amount of offenses that would happen to an individual in a day. He's saying forgiveness should be continual. It should go on and on. It should be the real attitude of a Christian. You know, even the Lord Jesus and also Stephen the martyr, you know, says, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, not all people will receive forgiveness, but the attitude in the heart of the Christian should be always to offer forgiveness. And Jesus now tells a parable about forgiveness when he says this in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. The Living Bible says that's like $10 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord or Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Now here's the situation. Here's a man that actually owes $10 million to his master. There's no way that he could pay that. He knows he can't pay it. The master knows he can't pay it. But you know, in those days, you couldn't take bankruptcy like you do in the United States of America. You couldn't do that. So what would happen is they would sell you and your wife and your children and everything you have, and you'd go into slavery, and they'd throw you into prison until everything was paid. And if it wasn't paid, you'd stay in prison all of your life. This man did the only thing he knew he could do. He knew that he couldn't pay that back. So he got on his knees and he cried for mercy to the master. Oh, master, please be patient with me. Please, I beg you. I'll pay you all. I'll pay you everything. Just be patient. Please be patient with me. And then notice what happened in verse 27. It says the Lord or the master of the servant was moved with compassion. He felt compassion for this servant. And he loosed him and he forgave him that debt. You know what? We had a debt that we could not pay. The Bible says the wages of our sin was death, separation from God for eternity. And all the silver and gold in the world couldn't redeem us. And God in His compassion, and God in His grace, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down here to the earth to pay the debt that we couldn't pay. God looked upon us in compassion. He looked upon us in His mercy. And He said, I forgive you that debt. Now, this man that had just been forgiven $10 million, he had another guy that owed $20 to him. And he ran and he found him. And he says, you know what? I've just been forgiven $10 million. And what is $20 to me? I've just been forgiven $10 million. I want you to be as free as I am. Just let it go. It's okay. I've been forgiven $10 million. You know, that's what should have happened. But did you know what? That's not what happened. The Bible, let me read the story of what happened. That same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed 100 pence, just a 20 bucks probably, just a little bit of money. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. And then that fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him and said, have patience with me. I'll get paid next week. I'll pay you the 20 bucks. But the guy says, no. And he would not, but he went in and threw that man into prison until he should pay the small debt of 20 bucks after this guy had been forgiven $10 million. Can you imagine that? So when these other fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told the original master what was done. And when that original master called that servant and says, "Oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of your debt because you desired me. Shouldn't you have also had compassion on your fellow servant like I had pity on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. You know, this man was then thrown into prison and he really forfeited his original forgiveness. And now Jesus says in verse 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Isn't that foolish for us? After we've been forgiven all of the debts of our sin, the wages of sin, which was death and separation from God for eternity, and because we besought God to say, "God, forgive me and have mercy upon me through Jesus Christ." And we were forgiven, and then we won't turn around and forgive somebody for some little thing that we think is so big after we've been forgiven all these things. God says that's wickedness. You know, I pastored a church a while back in Texas. And as I was pastoring that church, I had a young woman in the congregation that was able to see things in the future. She came to me one day and says, "You know, is that the Holy Ghost telling me things to come? Showing me things in the future? I know when people's going to die. I know when people's going to have car wrecks and all that." And I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what, you won't like my answer, but I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. I think it's the spirit of divination. It's the same thing that followed the Apostle Paul around in Acts chapter 16. And he finally rebuked it and commanded it to come out of that young girl. She lost her ability to tell fortune. But I said, "But I'm not God. I want you to go to Jesus. I want you to go to the Lord and I want you to ask Him, 'Lord, is what's telling me and giving me information even before I was saved, is that the Holy Spirit? Or is that something else?'" And she came back to me one day and she said, "I talked to the Lord about it and I think it's all right." And I said, "Well, whatever the Lord says is all right. I'm not the great shepherd." And then this was early in 1986. And you know what happened in 1986? We had a space program. It was called the Challenger. And there was eight people, I believe it was eight people that went up in the Space Challenger. And there was a woman school teacher. And you know what? As this lady that was in my congregation was watching the television, she saw the woman school teacher saying, "Tomorrow I'm going to go up in the Space Challenger," and talking about her, a spirit spoke to her and says, "She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die." And you know what happened the next day? That those seven people or eight people went up in that Space Challenger. It blew up in front of all the world. And that lady school teacher and all the rest of them perished. They lost their lives. And she came back to me and said, "Brother Don, I think that what's talking to me and giving me information may not be the Holy Spirit." She said, "Would you pray for me?" And so after everyone left that night after the service, I sat down and I took her by the hand and I said, "You unclean spirit of divination, come out of her in Jesus' name." And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. You know, Jesus' disciples tried to command an unclean spirit to go out of a young man one time and couldn't do it. And you know what Jesus said? "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." And I said, "Lord, I thought I knew what's going on here, but I bring this lady to you. Show us what's going on, Lord." And we prayed for her, and my wife got a word of knowledge. And my wife said, "It has something to do with her mother." And I said this to this woman. I said, "All right, will you forgive your mother?" And the moment I said that, this voice came out of her, "No! She gave me away!" And I said, "I bind you, you unclean spirit." Now I'm talking to the woman. I said, "Will you forgive your mother?" And you know what? She released her mother. She let her mother go by the grace of God and with the help of God. She didn't hold those things against her anymore. She let it go. She made a decision to forgive. And you know what? She received her deliverance and freedom. My friend, I'm saying, just like Jesus said in this parable in Matthew 18, that if we do not forgive from our heart after we've been forgiven such a great debt through our Heavenly Father, we will be delivered into the hands of the tormentors. And what are the hands of the tormentors? It can be all kinds of things. It can be demonic strongholds. It can be oppressions of sickness, of depression, of disease, of all kinds of things. And the root is forgiveness. If not forgiving after we've been forgiven. The Bible says we have to make a decision. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said to forgive as we've been forgiven. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11 that when we pray, if we have aught against anyone, that we're to forgive. What does this mean? Unforgiveness should stay in our heart. How long? Only long enough until we go to the Lord and get on our knees and pray. And if we have the least bit of aught against anyone, we should release them and ask God, God, I'm letting them go today. I'm forgiving them. I'm making a choice because you forgave me such a great debt. Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone watching this video right now that has unforgiveness in their life, that they make a decision right this moment to let that person go right now, to forgive them where that person is living, where that person has already passed away. They let it go and let that hurt be healed by your power and by your grace today, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name.